There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon. And joining me as always is the very speedy Lee.
Hello. Are you trying to pretend it's NASCAR or Formula One? That was NASCAR, because Formula One would be swoom.
You'd be a lot higher pitch, I guess.
And so, it would also, then there's dead time too, because it just goes past you, and then you got to wait till the next one.
Yeah, or a crash.
So yes, it is a Dragon Con. We're getting there.
Yes. As we're recording this one, it's 21 days out, right? Is that what we decided? Because we recorded this one the same time as the parade, which we just got off of doing. So,
so 21, 22.
I don't know. Anyway, it's some days away.
Well, and I would.
It's in the 20s.
It's some days away, and I would tell people to keep watching your guest and our pros, because they are getting added, and they're getting added, and then we're having to move our schedules around, and that's lots of fun. So it's getting there. We're almost there. We're almost ready. Woohoo!
Yeah, Lee's getting her Wonder Woman outfit all together, and she's going to wear the one that, you know, that was looks like the one that was leaked, or I guess not leaked, posted by the folks over there at the official one thingy. Over at the other convention. Yes, what?
Yeah, you know, John, there's things called urban legends.
Mm-hmm.
And you're perpetrating one right now, but you know what?
I'm kind of skeptical of that.
I got somebody who can stop you from doing that. I got somebody on right now who can stop you from perpetrating these urban legends and things like that. And his name is Derek.
I can make a costume magically appear on you. Yes, Derek, hey, how you doing?
I'd like to see that, because I can put you in line to win $1 million. Or at least 100,000. I mean, because you know, we don't have it's not as strict as 100,000.
What do we have to do at 100,000? Yeah, no,
pretty much the same thing, but you know,
just a little less. Oh, okay,
it gets you past the first round of testing, so you can actually get to the $1 million challenge by the James Randi Educational Foundation that has $1 million, and we'll give it to anybody who can prove that they have a supernatural ability.
Yeah,
there you go.
And of course, Derek heads up the skeptic track, and Lee was going to ask the question that I think I'm going to ask. So go ahead, Lee.
No, you go first.
Oh, I was going to ask you, what exactly is the skeptic track? What is a skeptic?
Well, the skeptics. Okay, the word is one that even we in the skeptics group we always say, "This is the best word to use." Thing is, it's been used in this scientific skepticism way since the BC era by the Greeks and such. So I don't think it's going away anytime soon. But
probably not.
What it really is the looking at the world from a natural perspective using science. Most skeptics tend not to be scientists as their job, but yet they live by, or they put stock on, science. So where it got its biggest coming up in modern era was in the realm of consumer awareness and trying to debunk scams and things that people were doing to bulk people from out of money. And that was kind of started by James Randi and Ray Hyman and people like that, who were using their ability to sniff out fraud by people who were committing it, because people thought that they were either magical or they had these abilities. James Randi was the one who busted Peter Popoff on the Johnny Carson show, because he figured out that the reason why he was able to know what all these people in an audience of the paid money to go see him, because he had this connection to God. the reason why he knew all this stuff is because his wife was giving him the information through an earpiece live on TV, and nobody knew that, but James Randi actually hired a company to sniff it out, and he showed that on Johnny Carson's show, and that was actually where it really got its biggest hit in modern times. So what we do is try to figure out what is real and what's not, and we have a lot of talks and panels about what is going on these days that people should be aware of. So a lot of consumer protection and not to be tricked. That's really what it is.
That all sounds great. So let me ask, what was I going to ask you there? Oh, so it's mostly non-scientist folks that head up your panels, right?
It's a mix. There's a lot of people who actually are scientists, but there's a lot of people who aren't a scientist by job, but they work within the bounds of, you know, the scientific method, or they are investigators of things to using that method to figure out what's really going on. The best way to put it is the real life Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good way of putting it. And yeah. And so someone like Adam Savage would be considers himself a skeptic, but he's not technically a scientist. But he can they certainly do perform scientific experiments on MythBusters or even in other things that they've been doing. So that would be the type of guest that would.
Yeah, I actually had Adam on my track a couple different years, and. He was pretty vocal. He was, there's one time he almost fell, and I was like, you know, I don't want to have it be my track where he actually gets injured after all the crazy stuff they do on TV.
You are the one who's going to break him. Oh my
almost,
God.
Almost. He fell off one of the stages in this Crystal Ballroom one of the days. Of all the things, be my event where he actually hurts himself after all the crazy stuff they do on TV. Mm-hmm. So. But yeah,
that makes you a little nervous.
He's a pretty big vocal skeptic. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. Well, now, what are some of the things? I mean, you're skeptic track, so you're being skeptical on things. But what are some of the panels that you're looking at this year? Whether they're you redoing them or there's a new twist or anything like that.
Wow, you know what? I'm going to pull up my thing because...
That was not a euphemism, people, that he's talking about thing as a schedule. This is a family show.
Well, you know, it is, we got a couple weeks left, and that's when your schedule is not really the schedule that you thought you were going to have.
Lee was just saying off the air that basically, you know, her schedule is getting torn apart because of various... Well, I mean, in a lot of ways...
Which is good. I got a guest, and we had to move some... And then you also... I only got one guest, but other things have to move because you're in big rooms, and those move around. And it's, you know, you just deal with it. It's no big deal, but it is something that's like... That's why people are like, why haven't you given your schedule out? Because
Oh, I know. Yeah. I have people all the time telling me, well, you know, where's your schedule? I can't give you the schedule. It's going to change until the last 5 days. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
So like this year, we're going to have a few different things this year. This year will be one of the years where there's going to be a lot of different things that there hadn't been in the past. There's a few things that have been common, but we have a lot of interesting talks. We have one on the reality of things like the crystal skulls that's going to be done by Ben Radford. And we're going to have this new thing we're doing. Have you ever heard about the Ignite talks? It's a big thing mainly in IT or programming where people do like a 5 or 10 minute presentation, and they have to have 10 or 20 slides, and they only get a minute per slide, and that's automated, and you have to talk, but you're done at the end. I mean, your mic cuts off and everything, but it's all that. Yeah. And these people volunteer to do these talks about, and they're supposed to be big ideas, kind of like a TED talk.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. It sounds a lot like a TED talk, but more of an IT focus.
Yeah, that's where it came from. But me and Tim Farley decided to do something like that this year. We're doing that on Monday morning, so they have enough time to do it into like the morning. And then we're going to have a on Saturday night, we're going to do a comedy festival.
Oh, really?
Which is going to, yeah, it's going to start at 10 and then it goes until these guys want to stop making people laugh. So it's actually it's a comedy festival that's a tour thing. It's the Geekapalooza. And they've actually won awards at other places. And it's all, most of the people are comedians who are professors at places like Georgia Tech or other, you know, science-based universities around the country. It's like about six or seven different comedians we have on that. So that's something new that wasn't there before. And then we have some of the typical things. We have Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. We're doing a live show again. And our big troop of skeptic people are going to march in the parade again. Things like that.
What do the skeptics do in the parade?
Oh, but they dress up and they entertain the kids. Yeah, and they entertain the kids.
Do they dress up like as Bigfoot or?
Yeah, actually, last year we did. We had one of my staffers dressed as the Yeti.
Oh, okay.
And when he got back to the track room, he took off the Yeti outfit and wrung it out into a trash can.
Oh,
and I think he had lost probably about 3 or 4 pounds of water weight.
He chose poorly for Atlanta.
he knew what he was doing. He actually is from this area, so he knew. He just, you know, thought it'd be fun to be the Yeti because he wanted to hide in the bushes and things, and he had a sign, and he would hide in the bushes and things like that. So
any spotting of any Yeti in the Atlanta area is automatically debunked, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, especially Yeti, because they're supposed to be in like the Himalayas, so I don't think they're going to be down here.
Yeah, they could be vacationing. Who knows?
It'll be warm.
Be very warm. So now you already mentioned you have one person, and of course the name just went away from me, and I can see his face. Dr. Sherman.
He was, but he had to back out because he just got married, and he'll be doing some honeymoon. I just got married stuff. So he decided he had to rethink coming to Dragon Con with his new wife.
Come on, he can do that.
That's what I told him. I saw him, and I met his wife at the Amazing Meeting, which is a couple weeks ago, and he was there, so I got to meet her. But yeah, I said you should have come, and she said I probably could have done it, and she's like, yeah, but you know, we have that trip we paid for. She's like, yeah, but you know, it would have been kind of fun. So yeah, he had to back out.
So next year, she will come at some point, but I understand honeymoon over Dragon Con. I kind of get that one.
She's not Dragon Con adverse.
No.
But you've also had Ben Radford, and I think Ben's coming back again this year. So who are some of the other names that people would know in the skeptic community that
they would know? I have Margaret Downey, and she's been coming since before I even had the track, and she is actually the person who heads up getting the people for the skeptic group that does the marching in the parade, because I can't do all that. Mm-hmm. So she actually handles that. And this year she is working with the science cheerleaders. And I don't know if you've heard about them, but an ex-professional NFL cheerleader. She's a scientist, and she knows other cheerleaders, professional cheerleaders who are also scientists. So they cool. They go to events as the science cheerleaders, and a few of them are going to actually be in the parade this year. So Darlene Cavalier is actually the cheerleader who actually started the group, and they go to high schools and universities, and they talk to girls who think that, you know, maybe this is too nerdy for them or whatever, and they convince them, you know, look, cheerleaders in high school, and we are now, you know, NASA scientists or chemists or things like that. So Margaret got in touch with them, and a few of them are going to come.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And, STEM for girls. Also always awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of cool. And then I have, I got 2 or 3 magic shows going on this year.
Ooh.
One of them is by Kurt Anderson, and he actually just recently broke a world record for a magic trick he did on TV. Actually, it wasn't in America, but he won a world record for doing some big thing. I didn't actually see it yet, but he's actually doing a magic show on Sunday.
Oh, very cool. That'll be neat. Is it a show that kids can come to, or is it more adult thing? Oh, okay, cool. So, yay!
Kids like
magic no matter what. So.
Yeah. So, and then his friend, who actually the reason why got Turk involved is one of the guys who's been a guest on my track pretty much since the beginning is Brian Brushwood, who's also a magician and has been doing a show almost every year. And so he is one who got Kurt for me as well. So Brian's going to do a talk, and possibly, you know, part of it might be involving some of his magic as well. I'll have Nick Iftimadis again, and he is an ex-spy. When I say that, I mean it. He now works for the federal government and the CIA, and he also does diplomat missions overseas. His claim of fame was, you remember at the end of Bill Clinton's second term, when they uncovered all the Chinese money that was filtered to his campaign?
Oh, yeah.
The guy who figured that out was Nick Iftimadis, the guy who's going to be my guest. That's what he did. He was a spy in China at the time, and he figured that out. And he can look it up, and he was on C-SPAN and everything during that time where they were trying to uncover how this money was being funneled illegally into a campaign from, you know, or foreign soil, because that's not legal.
It's not right. You can't do that.
Yeah. So he figured that out, and that's his claim to fame in the world stage, but he's also a skeptic, and he's also an author of sci-fi books that are very much like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe. It's a comedy type world that he created. So he's not only a Dragon Con guest for skeptics, but he's also a writer for sci-fi.
Oh, very neat. Very neat.
Fun stuff.
So that'll be good. So, yeah. And do you do, I mean, we talked about kids with the magic. Do you do any things like with the younger skeptics now of trying to show them how to start being little skeptics, or,
I mean, this year,
let their parents kind of bring them in, or what?
Well, believe it or not, I get a lot of kids in my track, which always kind of surprises me. Yeah. But this year the past few years, I have had a group of people that actually from Australia who a show called The Mystery Hunters, which is actually geared right at kids, and it's a skeptic show for little kids. And that was with a group of folks who haven't made it last year or this year. They're probably going to make it next year, because I just saw one of the crew in Vegas just a few weeks ago. So they're planning on to come back again. But for 4 years in a row, I had an event that was actually aimed at little kids like that.
See, and I actually was trying to set you up, because I haven't looked at your schedule, but I kind of remembered that from a few years ago. So I was like, oh, I bet you'd, I'm sorry. I was trying to set you up in a good way, not a bad way.
Yeah, well, but it was always good. I mean, I was always shocked that every time we did that, all the parents came with their little kids, and it was a really good show.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And you've got the magic show, which I think is always great, because they like it, and then they kind of want to know how to do it, because they do know that there's something going on there, and that's always great to show them that part, too, is that, yeah, there is something going on. Or not showing them and making them figure it out, which is also good. So cool. So, all right. Is there anything, if somebody was going to come to Skeptic Track for the first time this year, is there one panel you would say, this is the one to come and see, so this will get, this is your good intro to, you know, intro 101 to skepticism?
All panels are tentative.
And all panels are tentative until your butt's in the seat. Yes, that is true.
I would say, as long as it doesn't change, I was talking about Brian Brushwood, who's a magician, and his talk this year is going to be on Saturday. Say again?
We didn't say anything. I think we lost you for a second there, but go on.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, Brian Brushwood on Saturday evening at about 5:30, he's doing a talk called Scam, Sasquatch, and the Supernatural. And it's a lecture that's all about being a skeptic. And he goes through some of the history of it and some of the people in the past who were debunked and things like that. So that's actually one of the really good ones to actually come see, because it's really a good overview that's entertaining at the same time.
There we go. So that's a good one.
Yeah.
Your turn, John.
Yeah. And Brian Brushwood, of course, he's also a pretty popular podcaster.
Not only that, he has a TV show on the National Geographic as well.
Yeah. And he's got a lot of experience speaking, obviously, and he is very entertaining every time you listen to him. So if you could, I'm gonna ask Lee's question real quick, because I'm thinking of a couple other questions I want to ask you, but if you could see anybody this year that's not in the skeptic track, and assuming you had plenty of time to get out, what would you I know none of these things planning. All these things are pie in the sky, and never there time free time for directors is about as real as Dracula. Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, we would call it, you know, less than zero.
Less than zero. so, but if you could get out,
Robert Downey Jr. movies, but yeah, okay.
If you could get out, what would you like to see?
Oh, geez, I have no idea, because you know when I'm figuring out my schedule, I have no idea what's going on. You know, I always like save things like that until later on, so I have the least amount of time being depressed that I can't do certain things. But I've always, when I had time, I always enjoyed going to see people like Ron Glass was always fun to see, and people like that. Yeah. And I was actually just talking with my wife, and I realized how long it's been since Firefly came out. And I looked at the date. I was like, you gotta meet. I mean, I just felt very old, because it still feels like, you know, it's only been a couple of years. Why hasn't it come back yet? And it's been almost a decade.
It's almost been a decade at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, it has. And I feel the same way as you do, Derek.
How'd that happen? That's my question. How'd that happen?
Well, see, but the good thing is, see, you can now start sharing it with others, because my son is now getting into Firefly and watching all the DVDs.
He's going to be sad. You know, it feels he's going to be sad. Don't let him know that it even existed. It's better off.
Nah, it's all right. It's all right.
No, because I had one of my dad's friends, and I bitched about it. He said, look at it this way. It's like old Star Trek. Did it depress you to see it? It's like, no. It's like the same thing.
That's true.
I guess that's fair enough.
So you can watch the goodness for a little bit. Okay, John, you said you had another question that you were thinking.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you and the science guys, the science track, do you guys ever fight over, do you like have like
I don't know what it is.
Jello fighting over people.
Jello fighting over Bunsen burner fights over guests, or do you guys just kind of share them equally?
Now and then we do actually share them. A lot of times it's funny that we kind of develop our schedules independently, and then we look later on, and then we say, "What's your schedule look like? What's yours like?" And then we figure out if there's sometimes we can combine things.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it didn't really work out that way for some reason. So I know that now that the science track is being run by Steven, and it's funny because he was quite often a speaker on my track. So I said, "Could you do your talk on my track again?" He's like, "Yeah, like I have time for that."
Yeah.
Well, are they still located? Well, first of all, where are you located? And then I'm going to ask you, do you know if the science guys are still located in the same little?
I think
alcove?
They are. Yeah. They're basically right across the hall from us.
Yeah,
on the second floor of the Hilton.
So the second floor of the Hilton,
right as you come out of the Habit Trail, i.e. the little glass hallway.
Yeah, the Sakai Bridge.
Turn right, and Skeptic is right there, and then if you keep going down that hall, on the other side of the escalators. That's where science is.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
the right across the hall from us, basically.
And is podcasting still next to you?
Yeah, kind of. What they we took over that entire hallway now.
Right.
As of last year.
Uh-huh.
So I guess if we have to grow even more, I have no idea what they would ever do. So I said, I will just do whatever I have to do. I'm just going to keep it this big. My track room is mainly like a airplane canner at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's long. So the podcasting is at the end of the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And then next to that is science, which I think they grew a little tiny bit when they – because space moved upstairs.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So all that kind of reality stuff is right there. So it's like space, science, and then space is now upstairs. But you don't have to even use the elevator between the second and third floor in the Hilton.
Right.
So there's a very easy stairway that goes between them.
Yep. And what was I going to say? Yeah, I've gone by your room. I must admit, I've not been in a track. Well, I'm usually running around doing stuff for everybody else. But anyway, but every time I go by there, it seems to be pretty packed. So you guys are doing something right.
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, some events I have to like sit in the way back in the corner because there's like zero space to like sit mm-hmm. down. Hopefully the air conditioning will last the entire weekend this year.
Oh, we can hope.
Especially that year before last in my track room,
mm-hmm.
it got so hot on Saturday that people were just, they didn't know what to do, but they stuck around, which was amazing to me, but my track room was just a furnace.
Well, you're sharing a, outside wall there, so that doesn't help. Yeah. Doesn't help you at all.
Yeah, I know. Well, it actually got worse. When they did the remodel, I mean, the hotel looks really nice, but, you know, before the remodel, those track rooms had a thick curtain all the way down.
Oh.
And that curtain was thick. It was nice, velvety on the outside, but the inside that faced out to the world was white. So it was thick curtain with like about a foot off the window. And it was white, so all the sun was being reflected back, and there was that buffer of insulation.
Yeah.
When they got rid of that, now, instead of having a white-backed curtain, they have a thin piece of black. So let's do some physics here for a moment. You went through from having a reflective surface and a nice big buffer to insulate you from the heat, and it was all the heat was being pushed out, to no insulation and no buffer, and instead of having something nice and white that would reflect heat, no, it's a nice big piece of black fabric which just heats up the entire room.
Just sucks it all into you.
Yeah.
All right, so Derek, let me ask you our last question, and that would be for you this year. Is if you could have any one of the, you know, big, I don't know what there's actually a term for them, but like, you know, the Bigfoot and in the Loch Ness Monster, if you could have any of those be proven to be true and have absolute positive proof and, you know, maybe even captured alive, what would you like to see? Any of the big myths or unproven things out there?
Any space alien.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a great one.
Because that would mean that if they got here, there's some technology we can actually reverse engineer and make the world better.
Well, there's that. And now we can all be scared to death that they're going to come down and kill us.
Well, that could be the other problem, according to, you know, some big thinking scientists are like, you know, it's probably not a good idea that us going out there, beeping out all this stuff, trying to find these people, because we might not want to know who they are.
What the answer is, right? So, Stephen Hawking was one of those folks that said, if they do exist, you don't really want them to show up here. That's the last thing you want them to do.
Probably not, considering, you know, what happens in the past. We only have... one example of what happens when one scientifically advanced group meets another one who's way behind. Mm-hmm. And that was when, you know, we came to North America and we said, hey, look at this. You have all this nice land and resources, and let's see what happens.
Where are your friends? Sure you are.
So the run example we have didn't work out too well for the Earthlings in that example. So there's some legitimate fear there, I would imagine, but yeah. I would still like to know.
And so would I. So would everyone. Yeah. Everyone wants to know. So now,
will kill us, I'm sure.
If they could just release those classified documents that they're hiding, that the government's hiding from us. Although, to be fair, now I believe that they're probably not that there are aliens necessarily, but I do believe that the government is hiding a lot from us at this point.
Well, I'm sure if they found it with everything else, they. Gets leaked because they're bad at it. I'm sure we would know if that was one of them.
That is probably true. All right, Derek. Well, tell everyone where they can find you on the interwebs and where they can learn more about the Skeptic Track and, you know, the other things that you do around the world.
Interwebs.
Yes. Well, let's see where I got my start doing all this stuff and how Pat Henry had me start this track is because I've been doing the official podcast for Skeptic Magazine for the past, almost 10 years now. Mm-hmm. Now I feel old.
Yeah.
And that's at Skepticality. And I've been doing that show now forever. Every single episode up is up there with all the show notes. Then you can find out more about the track at www.skeptrack.org. I think .com and .network too as well, but skeptrack.org will get you to the website for the track.
And do you guys have a Twitter account too?
Yeah, that's Skep Track as well.
Okay. And yourself, do you have a?
Oh, well, my personal Twitter that I use more often than anything else would be my D Colanduno.
All right.
D C O L A N D U N O.
And all those links will be available on the post for this particular podcast. So if you didn't get that, you can head on over there to the Unique Geek and find them. So until first of all, Derek, thank you again for joining us. I really appreciate you taking the time and appreciate you putting all the effort that you do into Dragon Con and, you know, making it an awesome show.
Well, Dragon Con, I always tell people I'm dead serious when I say this. DragonCon is always my Christmas. Yeah. All the family comes into the town. You're so crazy busy. You don't really have much time with everybody that you really want, but it doesn't matter because you have a fun anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's this big party. And then in the end, you're like, wait a minute, it's over?
You know, a lot of us feel that way. It's pretty awesome. DragonCon. Yeah. DragonCon, we love you, DragonCon.
I know.
DragonCon's so awesome, man.
We keep growing. What we're gonna go next? I think. Did I hear that we're gonna actually use like some of the rooms at the Ritz this year?
I haven't heard that yet.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, see, for some reason, I caught wind that they were contemplating using some of the ballrooms over the Ritz because of, you know, a lack of big rooms for stuff this year. But I, like I said, you hear these things and then you never know if they're real or not.
And so if you want to find out, head over to the Skeptic Track.
Right now, for the first time since I became a director, every single one of my events is in the Hilton. So I don't have to have to run through the entire crowd to the Hyatt or anywhere else to like make it to one of my events.
You do realize that's all about to change now, right? Now that you've said it out loud. Anyway, until next time, for Derek and Lee, this is John saying peace.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow the Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.